Blog Talk Radio.
Listen to their struggles as they turn them into triumphs. In a city full of challenges, they only search for victory, and nothing will hold them back. These are their stories. So sit back, relax, and welcome to their city. Wrestle City Radio.
And hello, folks. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle City Radio. I am your host, George Alonso, otherwise known as hashtag Harry Handsome. But guys, we are very happy to have you here on the show, listening to another great episode. Now, mind you, for those people who are just tuning in from old school times, guys, major announcement, Wrestle City Radio now has our own server. Welcome to our new home on the Wrestle City Radio server, on the Wrestle City Radio Network, whereas we are going to be providing a lot more shows per a week here on the network. Things are going to be being worked out in the meantime. But guys, we are back into our own server. We're no longer under the umbrella of anyone else, kind of like leeching off the power to be. So guys, we are on our own, we are solo, and has never stopped us from succeeding. But already, as always, you know, being the first episode on our own server, you know, someone has to be robbing us of our money, and nonetheless, we have him back. I'm talking about the law, Ray Raimundo. How are you?
What an entrance. I'm leeching off your money, you say.
I still don't understand how, where Lorraine, where she's digging into the Wrestle City account as far as the amount that you asked for. For Christ's sake, the other day we were only able to give you half a check, and you said you're taking us to court, and now we lost that court session, and now we owe you double.
Yep. And today's check was a little heavier, so. Keep it coming.
Lorraine, I'm
one day this
you.
Is not even going to be Wrestle City Radio. This is going to be the Law of Radio. Let's continue.
I'll kill you, Lorraine. For the things that you're making me do here, I'll kill you. Anyway, but guys, we're going to be talking about a lot of major topics here on the world of professional wrestling. One being included, the famous Kurt Angle announcement. What is it or what's going to be tonight on Monday Night Raw? Aside from that, we are also going to be talking about the New Japan Pro Wrestling shoot from Tamatonga this past week during their G1 Climax conference, which was, let me say, something that you must hear. But also, we're going to have none other than a special guest with us, the actual winner of this year's ECWA Super 8 tournament, a super prestigious tournament in the world of independent wrestling, in the world of professional wrestling. He was the winner of the tournament this year. That tournament has opened the gates to many, many greats here in this business to make it to the big time. And now this man is this year's winner. He's going to be joining us here in the hybrid. Sean Carr will be here on the show. And we cannot wait to...
Sorry about that.
What the hell was up with the boo?
You'll find out later.
Oh, Lordy Lord. Why is it that a little bit of me is scared right now?
The law has associates. And I've been told to deliver a message later on. You all find out soon.
Oh, jeez. All right, well, guys, let's go ahead and start talking pro wrestling. especially this topic, because I know it hits everyone's curiosity. What is Kurt Angle's major announcement tonight? Everyone's been throwing things from, exactly, that he has a bastard son, to
Chad Gable?
Chad Gable, to Dixie Carter, to Eric Bischoff, to the return of CM Punk. Like, so many things have been said about today's Kurt Angle announcement, and people are going pretty much bonkers right now as far as what the announcement could be. And to be honest with you, my guess is just as good as everybody at this moment. But I have to say, it really brings back the people to watch. It brings back people to tune in to tonight's Monday Night Raw because everyone's curious. So they're doing a good job at that. They've been building this up for like about a month and a half now with Corey Graves and Kurt Angle. And I have to say, out of all the rumors that I've heard, Mr. Raimundo, I'm really hoping to God that they build a story around Chad Gable. And as weird as this sounds, the reason why I'm saying I hope the story surrounds Chad Gable is because Chad Gable is just an amazing athlete. I feel like that guy is future in the making if he was not a tag team competitor. Not saying that the American Alpha is a bad tag team, but I'd rather have to see Chad Gable work as a single superstar. Like, that's just me.
It would be interesting. Having that push from Angle, it would be interesting. For some reason, I'm still thinking it's going to be Dixie Carter.
Well,
It has to be something around Dixie.
Well, Dixie Carter did actually tweet out something this past week saying, because a fan tweeted her saying, hey, are you going to be at Monday Night Raw? And she just said, tune in. So it's something like this is the time. You see, I think I brought it up to you not too long ago, Mr. Raimundo, during one of your special guest co-host appearances, that I told you, hey, we need that surprise factor. We need that shock factor again. I think, like, we haven't had a shock factor in a long time. I think the biggest shock factor, and as a matter of fact, I have to ask you what your favorite shock factor was, but I feel like my favorite shock factor was, Ray, was when Eric Bischoff came out on Monday Night Raw as the new general manager. That was huge in itself. And can it be that finally today we see another huge shock factor with Dixie Carter, the former owner of TNA, walking out on Monday Night Raw today?
It would be interesting because it would be that same reaction to get someone that was their competitor show up on Raw today. But to me, I think my favorite shock factor was actually in 2007 when Jeff Hardy returned to the WWE against Edge. That storyline just brought goosebumps because I always grew up watching Jeff Hardy. So to see him return as the charismatic enigma again, to me, that was just golden.
Speaking about charismatic
Bischoff, but just loved it.
But talking about charismatic enigma, as a matter of fact, for the last 2 weeks, he's brought back his old face paint, actually. Do you feel like it's the return of the charismatic one again?
Not as much, because if you noticed last week's promo, Matt Hardy brought a little more of the broken side to him, and Jeff sang that beautiful song, if they'll fade away and classify themselves as obsolete.
Well, all I got to say,
sooner or later, that broken gimmick is coming. If Anthem stops with their cases continuing, just let the Hardys use the gimmick. It'll make them a lot more money.
Well, question, right now with Dixie Carter now possibly on the WWE payroll, do you feel like that might help the Hardys gain their broken gimmick back? Because if there's anyone that knows TNA and the business aspects of it, was the former owner of TNA, and that's Dixie Carter.
She only owns 1%. I see her helping nothing. She has nothing else to do with TNA. Jeff Jarrett made sure she's eliminated. So, yeah, I don't see that helping. If anything, it's worse because now they're going to – that sours the deal because they've been speculating, oh, there's a deal being made that Rebbie Hardy – the deal was that if she stops tweeting about Jeff Jarrett and TNA, they'll give the Hardys a gimmick. If she does anything that goes against it, she has to pay a fine of about $5,000 per tweet. Something of that sort. So it's like, okay, this is getting worse by the minute.
Well, you have to, you can't, like, I'm not going to go and pick sides here, but you have to admit the tweets that Ruby Sky was throwing out was a little overboard.
I just see Anthem trying to get as much money as they can from the Hardys, which makes sense because that's the same thing I'm doing to Wrestling City Radio. So, yeah, get the
money.
But
what I'm saying, Ray, is the fact that Rebby Hardy's, you know, tweets were a little bit over the top, don't you think?
Yeah, they were kind of hypocritical because she's talking about what they have done. At the same time, she's even brought up Jeff Jarrett's DUI. When last time I checked, the Hardys haven't been that sober lately. So, yeah, it's like the old saying goes, you crucify for your own crime, but okay.
I thought you were going to make a song out of that. Oh, I crucify and make you obsolete. I don't know. I thought you were going to come up with a new song right there. But basically,
I'll change the lyrics so they can actually continue.
Well, guys, by all means, tonight's Raw is definitely something you want to tune into, whether it's the opening announcement or it's the main event of tonight's Raw. Either way, it's worth the wait because think about it. Curiosity is killing you right now. You want to know what Kurt Angle's announcement is. You want to see if it's Chad Gable. You want to see if it's Dixie Carter. You want to see if, shoot, even if they do both, where Kurt Angle, they make a story where Kurt Angle had an affair with Dixie and Dixie gave birth to Chad. Boy, that's one hell of a story.
Oh, God, that would be weird. That storyline would be weird. The other storyline that I keep hearing is that it may be a Stephanie McMahon affair. That is Stephanie
man.
And Kurt, and that leads up to Triple H versus Kurt Angle at SummerSlam.
Well, at the same time, like I heard to kind of like, sorry, I mixed it up. It was kind of like the story of the bastard son with Stephanie McMahon, because remember, Kurt Angle and Stephanie did have a romantic storyline back in the day where it ended up escalating the feud between Triple H and Kurt Angle. So could it be that maybe Stephanie gave birth to, Chad Gable? Or, you know, and the funny story is
I can see that storyline now. Chad Gable is put up for adoption. Oh, God. Tune into Raw, folks. Tune into Raw.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's the storyline that goes on tonight, I'll give Wrestle City Radio all their money back.
Oh, really? Okay, WWE, please listen in. I need my money. But no, like seriously, on in the far note, whatever the storyline may be, Ray, people are curious to know what is going to happen.
Yeah, the ratings are going to be high tonight. People are going to tune in, which is a good thing because ratings have been so low. They need something to amp them up and need something to bring Raw and even SmackDown back. Because, you know, doing this segment tonight, and then they're still rolling on the Cena, AJ, Kevin Owens, and Rusev storyline, these two nights of wrestling are going to be must-see TV.
Oh,
so WWE is finally getting their ball running, and they're doing something.
And
they're not
mind
running
you,
home with the ball. They're actually doing something. Which, ironically, I say that statement, today's 6 years of the CM Punk scandal. Do you remember that, George?
Yep. Yeah, that's why I'm saying it could, because Kurt Angle even went on record on an interview saying that CM Punk should return. So what if tonight's announcement has something to do with CM Punk? Because CM Punk does have a bad history with the WWE, and Kurt Angle does clue people saying this could ruin his career. So what if
he loves CM Punk?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that Kurt Angle has been secretly meeting with CM Punk to establish a contract. And, of course...
Yeah, but last week, they basically made it seem it has to be something with a love interest because he ends the phone call with, I love you, hangs up the phone. So it's kind of like, I don't think he's going to say that to Punk. That would be kind of weird.
Well, yeesh. Unless he sees CM Punk as a brother, you can't blame that. But
okay. Or maybe it's me, George. You don't know where I actually am right now. I never gave my location.
Let me tell you something. If it's you, I'm turning off the TV.
Thanks,
so,
George.
You're welcome.
I could be wearing my new Wrestle City Radio T-shirt, but okay, turn off the TV.
Oh, so you're the mystery
cheap
guy
plug,
who
cheap
bought
plug.
This?
Cheap plug.
Oh, God. yeah, cheap plug. By the way, go purchase our T-shirts now at Teespring, teespring.com/Wrestle City Radio, and you could purchase our T-shirts there for limited time only. I believe we have like less than 15 days left where you could purchase our T-shirts and join the revolution of bringing back respect to the world of professional wrestling. And look at this. Now Lorraine even goes on record and says, oh, it could be an affair with Linda McMahon. Oh, God, please, not Linda. Oh,
no.
Lord.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Whatever happens tonight, it's going to be really, really weird. Gosh.
Put your kids to sleep before this segment is concerned. Nah, that's all I could say.
Hopefully it's the main event, so at least kids can watch the first half of Raw. Let them see the Hardys, let them see someone else, and then, okay, kids, go sleep. Adult business.
Yeah, because then they're going to wonder, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, where do babies come from? They come from a stork. Anyway. So, guys, basically, yes, you know, you have a huge segment in general when it comes to this Kurt Angle story tonight. You made mention a great point also when it comes to SmackDown stories. But, bro, even women have a great story happening right now because they're teasing the four horsewomen of the WWE versus the four horsewomen of the MMA, which
perfect. WWE is cashing in. Because the big storyline right now is Mayweather versus McGregor. So they know, oh, how do we get on that stock? Okay, we invite all the four horsewomen of the UFC to come watch their friend in the Mae Young Classic. And let's plot, have our four horsewomen be on the other side of the ring. So that could lead to maybe a SummerSlam match, who knows? But that's the perfect way to cash in on the biggest fight of the summer being Floyd Money Mayweather versus the notorious Conor McGregor.
Well, just to kind of like...
Folks.
Marketing 101. But personally, I feel like if they're going to do something like that, I feel like they should wait for Survivor Series for that. Because SummerSlam is a little...
wouldn't it be too late, George?
No, it's not that it's too late. It's just that, remember, there's only one person that's trained in professional wrestling in the entire Four Horsewomen, and that was Shayza, okay, which she participated in the Mae Young Classic. So right now, Ronda Rousey, yes, she knows wrestling, but she knows wrestling as MMA. And then the other two, they don't know, like, pro wrestling like WWE. They're fans of it, but that doesn't mean that you're a wrestler. So they have.
But
they
that
need
doesn't
time
mean that
train.
All four have to actually be in the ring. It could turn into just a one-on-one contest, and then have them all on the outside. Because I don't think it takes that. They have right now about a month or so to train. So at least let them learn the basics. Let them learn something they can do. Have them at least do a bump or so, and have Shayza face one of them at SummerSlam. Because WWE knows if they can cash in on this match, they're getting everyone that's watching the Mayweather-McGregor fight and that storyline build, they're going to want to watch this.
Well, to be honest with you, if you are going to compete with Mayweather and McGregor, you better put Ronda Rousey in there with Charlotte Flair. I'm just saying that is probably the best thing you could do to compete with McGregor and Mayweather. Like, at least it's somewhat same platform. You know, shoot, nothing. I'm not going to say that Mayweather and McGregor is going to be easy to beat. That's literally two of the best fighters in the world.
No matter what they put on SummerSlam, I'm sorry, it's not going to be Mayweather versus McGregor. But at least doing this, they can get some of the audience that's getting into it's boxing versus UFC. They can have, okay, it's UFC versus the WWE.
Yeah, good point.
So at least it's something.
Well, I'm just saying right now, if there's anyone that should be in the ring to compete with McGregor and Mayweather, it should be Charlotte Flair and, of course, Ronda Rousey. But, guys, now it's time to reach out to our special guest of the evening. I'm talking about our ECWA Super 8 winner, Sean Carlin. Let's go ahead and reach out. Okay. Apparently, the lines are not working. Just 1 second here. We apologize for the technical difficulties.
Okay.
Okay, so it looks like, yeah, looks like our line is not working.
Hey, I'm just playing the elevator music for the fans.
Elevator music. Really?
Oh, good. It was something to entertain him.
Well, either way, while we still attempt this, let's go ahead and talk about other things. Basically, one of the top things that I find was working. Let's see if this works. Give me 1 second. There we go.
Perfect.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Carr. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, Mr. Carr. Good, good. I'm here. This is Russell City Radio with myself, George, and the Law Ray Raimundo. How are you today, sir?
Very good, guys. Very good. Thank you for having me, man.
No, thank you for your time. You know, you are possibly one of the top prospects of the world of professional wrestling right now. You constantly train your father and et cetera, et cetera. So we thank you very much for your time with us here today.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Well, Mr. Carr, first and foremost, I have to tip my hat off to you, man, because I believe it was you who shared a link not too long ago about the story that was shared on a local channel in your vicinity about what took place during one of your events when your wife was giving birth to your child. And let me just say, my hat tips off to you, man. You are pretty much a pure definition of what a father should be.
Oh, thank you very much, man. That means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, I my heart went out to you, man, like the things that you went through, because a lot of people, like, they seem to say, hey, my plate is full. There's so much I could do. But, you know, you being so far from your family during that day, and then you just said, you know what, I'm having my match. I'm jumping in the car, and I'm running over there. And then the fact that you got in a car crash, I believe it was, there was nothing stopping you to getting to your baby, and that was amazing, and I'm very happy that your baby came out healthy. And I have to ask you, Mr. Carr, with now being you being a father and such, do you plan, I know it's early to ask, but do you hope that one day your child follows in your footsteps in this business?
You know, like me and my future wife, we've talked about that a lot, and we both are at the, we both came to the agreement that if that is something that she honestly truly wants to do, that we will support her, and I will make sure that I do everything in my power to make sure she has every advantage that maybe I didn't have when I was starting out. But again, I mean, if she doesn't want to, that's cool too. If she wants to pursue something else, that's totally fine, you know. But that's where we're at, you know. I mean, right now she loves it, you know. She loves watching Daddy wrestle. She loves going to shows. She loves cheering and booing and being a part of the whole thing. So if that's the path she decides, then I guess it's the path that we'll go with.
And mind you, Mr. Carr, you mentioned also a great point of how, you know, your daughter follows you to your shows and such. And mind you, it's good that now that the product has turned into more a family-friendly product compared to what it used to be. So the business has evolved in such a long, long road. And mind you, you have evolved too, but also wrestlers are evolving. It seems to me like almost every class, you know, of wrestling schools, they just keep on getting better and better and better. And it's like a new move has just popped out every other show now nowadays. Can you tell us about...
Go ahead. You finish.
No, I just wanted to ask you, and by all means, finish your comment too. I want to hear what you were going to say, but I wanted to ask, what do you feel about the evolution of pro wrestling?
You know, it's crazy. It's crazy to me at how much the business has changed since I first started. And I think for the better, like you said, I mean, nowadays in wrestling, everybody is just so talented. I mean, there's so much talent out there. You know, everyone, you know, they look so good. You know, there's a lot of in-shape people. They got expensive, nice gear. I mean, you know, and a lot goes into, you know, perfecting their craft. Sometimes I feel like this newer generation maybe does a little bit, I would say, too much in ring-wise, and they don't really focus more on, like, maybe telling a story as more getting over a move. But, I mean, overall, I mean, this new talent that's coming out nowadays, like you said, it's like every other day, you know, you have a new move debuted or something. It's also it's cool with social media and all that, how easy it is to, you know, or easier I should say it is to get booked and to really get your name and get your brand and get who you are out there, you know. And I mean, at the same time, it makes the business more cutthroat and more you know, maybe difficult to get your name out there, maybe, but at the same time, I mean, it really, you have to be talented. You have to have some kind of it factor nowadays to, you know, rise above the rest. Because, I mean, like I said, in 2017, there's so many talented wrestlers, men and female. It's just insane.
Yeah, and mind you, I'm thankful that you brought up social media too, because like a lot of people, I've heard both sides of the stories. I've heard all social media has helped, all social media hasn't helped. But the fact is that also a lot of Young Bucks, no pun intended to the Young Buck tag team, but basically, but a lot of Young Bucks that are entering in the business, Mr. Carr, basically are kind of like, yeah, I'm going to open up a Facebook page per se, like a personal page. And then they throw out their personal, you know, subjects out there. They kind of like put out depressing things and et cetera, et cetera. So, I could understand where these vets are saying that doesn't help the business, like in a social media
wise. That's true, yeah. That's true. So, I agree 100%. And it's funny, too, because, like, whenever you go to submit your stuff to a bigger company like WWE or, you know, Ring of Honor or, you know, GFW, whoever, you know, they want your social media accounts. They want to know what you're posting. They want to know because that's, you know, there's a lot of people that are out there, like you said, who just, you know, they're social media crazy and they love to just post their whole life on there and not really care who's watching, who's paying attention. And I've actually personally seen people get denied opportunity because of their Facebook posts, their Twitters, their, you know, so they're everything. So that aspect, it kind of, you know, it kind of can hurt. But at the same time, maybe, you know, if you're old enough to be climbing into a ring, you should be old enough to know how to censor yourself and look professional and know what to say and what not to say on social media. Because that's the other thing. I mean, people, you know, who are in our situations, you know, I feel like we're held at a higher, you know, pedestal than other human beings. And that's because that we decided to lace up a pair of boots and get, you know, climb into a ring and be an entertainer. So, yeah, I mean, that, you know, there's always a pro and a con, but, you know, it's funny you said that because, like I said, I've seen people actually get denied huge opportunities for the things that they've posted on social media.
Yeah, because, like I said, I've had a lot of people – on my show here that, like, we ask sometimes the question because they have given us the what we call in journalism the segue to speak about social media. And some people have said, yeah, it's helped because it helps me promote my gimmick, my character, my matches, my merchandise. And then at the same time, you have your vets that say, no, it doesn't help because some of these guys don't know how to separate the personal from the professional. So that's why they say, hey, in this case, if you really want to post personal, only accept your friends on your personal page and then make a fan page for the fans. So
and I
have to agree. It's sorry that I'm talking like a worker. I know I'm not, but but that's what I've learned. But, like, I know you were helped by two of the greats here in the business, like two legendary veterans in Rob Cook and Cage that basically took you under the wing. Tell us a little bit about that, like the difference between how these two gentlemen trained you and took you under their wing to what's happening in the current business and training.
Oh, man, I mean, you know, when I first got in roughly 10 years ago, you know, I had training, you know, I knew the basics, you know, I knew, you know, what, you know, at least a veteran can guide me through something. And then, you know, Cage and Ivy Green, Rob Cook, whatever you want to call them, they told me, they said, you can learn how to bump and all that in school, but you learn how to work on the road. And, you know, I mean, they were kind of dwindling down on their careers, and they were doing a lot of, I don't want to knock any show, but, like, they weren't, you know, they were doing, like, a, you know, your typical, you know, independent wrestling at the time show, and they would get me booked, and it was just one of those things where I was thrown in there with a veteran wrestler, and they would watch every match. And when I came back through that curtain, you know, I would get what I did good, what I did bad, what I needed to work on. And I was always, like, back then, like, you know, there's a lot of veteran guys who, it's crazy now. I mean, I say that now and half of them are on television right now. But, you know, I would always ask people to say, hey, you know, like, could you please watch my match and offer me any kind of pointers? And that's how, you know, I was always, and I still am to this day, I'm very, you know, open and just want to learn. And, you know, overall, you know, I feel like that hasn't changed at all, where people who have, you know, they ask and they're willing to learn. And I feel like if you're not willing to learn and you're not, if you're one of those who just act like you know it all, then you'll never get to where you want to go. You know, you should always be able to ask for critique and criticism. And that's not only in wrestling, that's in life in general, you know.
Agreed. So. No, I completely agree. And as a matter of fact, now that we're talking about also training and such, you also have an extensive background in not just pro wrestling, obviously, but you also know your martial arts. You know MMA, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. And funny how we are actually talking about this right now, how I brought this up. And before you came on, we were just talking about the Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor coming up. So, Mr. Carr, I want to hear this from a guy who's trained, you know, in that, plus, you know, pro wrestling. Tell us about, you know, mixing the two sports. Like, I know it's different from, like, wrestling and MMA to boxing and MMA, but tell us about that whole, you know, transition there. And also, who do you think is going to win, McGregor or Mayweather here?
Okay. Well, I've been heavily involved in martial arts for a very, very long time. My parents first got me into them when I was about 6. I was a huge Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan. I was a huge Mighty Morphin Power Ranger fan. So, you know, it just seemed natural that, you know, so my parents first got me involved in Taekwondo, and I studied Taekwondo for the better part of almost 15 years. I became a second degree black belt. I actually went to the state tournament up here in upstate New York for Taekwondo sparring.
I got a silver medal, almost qualified for Junior Olympics, but unfortunately I was beat out by the guy who beat me. Then that transitioned over into Muay Thai, which transitioned into kickboxing, which transitioned into, you know, I wrestled in high school, you know, so I mean, it was one of those things where it was kind of like I always tell people, like, I was wearing tap out shirts before people knew what tap out MMA was, you know? I have a couple amateur fights of, you know, MMA under my belt. Again, before it was a cool thing to do. Now it seems like everyone wants to be an MMA and they want to be a fighter and all that stuff. Quick little funny story. I was actually training when John Jones first transitioned from, wrestling, like high school wrestling, into fighting. John Jones actually grew up about 5 minutes from where I live. It's crazy.
That's ridiculous. Like, I actually met John Jones at a local MMA event down here in Miami. Very professional
guy.
He knows how to conduct himself well.
Him and his brothers all. I mean, they've all been, you know, they're all just super athletically gifted. I mean, there's two brothers in the NFL. I think actually one of them retired, and the other one just signed a pretty sweet contract with, Baltimore. I could be wrong on that, but John was always a down to earth guy. You know, he's had his troubles in the recent past, but you know, I think he's past that. I hope he is. It was one of those things where, you know, I kind of stepped away from the martial arts and I really wanted to get to my passion, which is professional wrestling. And, you know, that's how people, the guy who first showed me the business, his name is Junior White. One day we're in there and I was doing some of my martial arts while in training for wrestling. And he goes, man, you're kind of like a hybrid of martial arts and pro wrestling. And that's how he was like, that's it. He goes, that's what your nickname should be, is hybrid. And it's been with me ever since. And as someone who used to compete and used to actually get hit and used to box and as an MMA background, this fight coming up, I think, is going to be something special. I don't think it's going to be what the Pacquiao fight was with Mayweather two or three years ago. There's a lot of different scenarios I'd have to go with. I think that if this fight coming up goes the distance, if it goes all the rounds that it's scheduled to go to, that Mayweather will win. Mayweather is he's a boxer. He's a very smart boxer. But at the end of the time, McGregor is a fighter. And, you know, McGregor is a beast, and he's crazy. and he has hands. You know, people, I think, I hate how people just kind of, they just are automatically, like, counting McGregor out because, you know, he has a fighter's chance, as anyone does, when you step in the cage or you step in between the ropes. Me personally, I think McGregor is going to shock the world like he always does. I remember back when they were saying that Jose Aldo was unbeatable and, you know, McGregor ended up knocking him out in like under a minute.
I remember seeing that.
I always tell people, I'm always like, don't count McGregor out. You know, I mean, if it's a scientific boxing match, you're going to have to give that experience to Floyd, obviously, because Floyd knows how to pick apart people, but Floyd also likes to hit and run. But Mayweather is an aggressor, and Mayweather has some dangerous hands. So, I mean, me personally, I'd love to see McGregor pull it out. But, you know, it's definitely going to, you know, make them, those two, a whole lot of money that, you know, they're probably more money than they know what to do with. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about it, so obviously it's going to be a huge attraction. So we'll see, though. It's definitely going to be pretty interesting.
Well, I have to kind of like rebuttal you here because, like, I'm hoping McGregor wins. Don't get me wrong on this. I'm just going to throw in an opinion here. But look what happened to Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm. Ronda Rousey was your perfect MMA female athlete. She knew almost everything in the entire MMA world. And then you had Holly Holm that was a boxer. She started off as a boxer, and she knocked out Ronda Rousey. Can this possibly be a repeat, but in the male area of that sport? Like, could it be now that Mayweather knocks out McGregor? I'll tell you this much. Whoever wins this fight, we're never going to hear the last of it.
Oh, God, no. Oh. And I think whoever wins it, it's going to set up for another fight because I just think there's too much money to be made. And I do agree with you, you know. I mean, I also think at that point Ronda was kind of, I don't want to say she was done, but I think that she didn't really know how to manage. I don't really think she knew how to manage the fame, the making the movies, the this, the that. And I feel Holly Holm was, I mean, if you look at them when they showed up to that cage, Ronda didn't look like and she was obviously in shape. I don't want to say she was fat or anything, but like Holly was in fighter shape. Like she was like, she was ready to go, you know, and Ronda didn't really, and I think, you know, Ronda, that whole thing, I think Ronda overlooked her, you know. Ronda was like, well, no one's ever lasted 2 minutes in the cage with me, so, you know, I'm just going to come in and mow it down. And she got humbly beat down, and she definitely hasn't been the same since. But, you know, I agree 100%. I mean, Holly came in and picked her right apart. It was pretty crazy to watch.
I agree. Yep, it was. And mind you, hypothetically speaking, Mr. Carr, let's say, for instance, if you went into the MMA world and you went into the UFC or you went into Bellator, you went into Strikeforce, you went into Pride, you know, like, is there any fighter, hypothetically, again, that you would want to fight in the octagon, anyone that had your eye, per se?
Oh, man, I mean, oof. You know, it's crazy because, like, nowadays I'm kind of glad that I stepped out of that world. And that's only because, I mean, there's so many talented fighters. I mean, there really is. That's a tough question. That's not something I've ever been asked, actually. That's a first. I don't know, man. I mean, honestly, I would want to take if I would, you know, step away from wrestling and pursue a fighting career, as long as it made a whole lot of money and it was a huge draw, I'd be okay with it. You know what I mean? I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know if CM Punk's looking for any opponent coming up. I mean, I think I'd give him a run for his money.
Hey, Mr. Brooks, I hope you're listening.
All out of respect and love, though. I mean, my God, and that's one thing. I love CM Punk. I don't feel he was really, you know, people didn't give him enough credit. You know, I mean, he made that walk. I mean, not a lot of people could say that they made that walk to the cage, and he trained his ass off, and he looked amazing. You know, and you know, I mean, his very first MMA fight. I mean, they put him in there with a prospect of MMA, you know what I mean? I mean, Mickey Gall was just, you know, he was in the fight game longer, and, you know, but I give Punk his, you know, his credit, man. I mean, I respect him a lot, everything he's done in wrestling, obviously. And I, you know, you can't, I mean, anyone who's like, oh, well, you know, he went in there and he got his ass kicked. Yeah, but, I mean, he went in there and he threw down. Like, that's something to respect, in my opinion.
No, and mind you, I have a whole lot of respect. The guy, you know, a lot of people doubted him and said, hey, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're not going to last. But it's not about lasting. It's the fact that he did it. He did his dream, you know, and yep. that's what no one understands is, hey, yeah, he backed up your words and now you're hating on him because he lost, but you're forgetting the main point. He did it. You know, how many times can a person say, hey, I have a dream, and they kind of give up on it because it doesn't happen to them the next day? Like,
exactly.
Punk had a dream. He made it come true, like you did, to become a wrestler, and he made it come true. But basically, I'm going to continue talking with you a little later, Mr. Carr. I feel like I'm taking half the transcript from my co-host over here. So I want to give him a little bit of spotlight here with you, and then I'll ask you a few last questions before you go, and then we'll do some plugs for your Twitter, your pro wrestling tees, and et cetera, which I was informed by my COO. I had to get some information on that because I want to probably buy some shirts. by all means, let's Ray, Mr. Carr is all yours, man.
Okay, thanks, George. And Mr. Carr, it's a pleasure to be able to speak with you. Sadly, I wasn't able to see your show last night. I was trying to make it, but a hospital visit got in the way.
I missed that amazing ladder match of yours
last night.
Thank you. Yeah. Greg Exel and I, we had one hell of a match. It really was. I mean, I'm still feeling it today.
I can imagine. Not only that, but the Crusade for Change got to you afterwards. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they came out, they beat me down, and they ended up taking my title. But it was, you know, during the beatdown, Joe Gacy, Rob Cook, Axel Lennox, you know, they came to the save. And then finally, Cody Rhodes. You know, a lot of people don't realize, but me and Cody Rhodes are actually, you know, we're pretty good buds. And he did me a solid. He came out. He didn't leave the building, and he came out, and he helped us out. But unfortunately, the Crusade still stole my belt. I didn't lose it. I'm still the champion. They just stole the belt.
Well, I guess September 15th is not going to be far enough for you, isn't it? For that war game.
Right. I mean, I'm coming that night to get my belt back, and I'm coming for revenge along with, you know, the other four guys on my team.
Well, okay, now let me get down to the interview and ask you the first question I usually ask everyone. Is what was your reasoning for getting into the wrestling business?
My reasoning for getting in the wrestling business, I've been a lifelong fan ever since I was flipping through the channels one day and I caught a match between the British Bulldog and Shawn Michaels, and I was just hooked. And it was just one of those things where as soon as I started watching, I couldn't get enough of it. And a hobby became a passion, which became my life. And, you know, I was very fortunate enough and able to, when I was growing up, to be able to witness ECW, WCW, WWF, which is now WWE. I got to meet a lot of cool my buddies, you know, from Binghamton, New York, and we'd do the whole tape trading thing, and, you know, we would play all the video games, and, you know, like, I was obsessed, just like I am now, and that turned into me just saying one day, you know, I was like, I've always wanted to do this, and I'm just going to give it a shot, and I did.
Awesome. Who would you say that your style of wrestling you resemble? Who was one of those idols that you wanted to make your style based off of?
I was always a huge fan of the smaller guy who can really go. So, obviously, Shawn Michaels. Because of my martial arts, I was always in awe and just love Rob Van Dam. One of my all-time favorites ever was Eddie Guerrero. And I always try to take a little bit of, you know, those three, because I feel like those three to me in ring wise are some of the best, you know, to ever lace a pair of boots up. And, you know, I always admire the fact that, you know, those smaller guys who like a newer age, a Daniel Bryan, you know, a Chris Jericho, where anytime they came on, you knew what you were going to see was always good. And that's the mentality that I always try to go about, is whenever someone sees my name on a card, my goal is to, you know, to make them say, wow, I have to go to that show because Shawn Carr's on that show. And I know his match will be, his match alone will be the price of admission because it's always going to be good. That's the kind of mentality that I've always had in ever since I started, and it's carried me this far, you know, to where we're at now. So
awesome, awesome. Yeah, I have seen a lot of your work, being luckily I am here in New York, so I've gotten to see a lot of your stuff, and you do have that style. It's like seeing that smaller guy work and being able to still prevail and always put on a top-notch match. Being that style and you're able to prove all that, what would be your end goal in this business? What's that one company you're like, I have to make it there and I'm complete?
You know, obviously, this year alone, I've been able to, you know, check mark off so many on my bucket list, that right now, like, you know, I've been able to wrestle for CZW. I've been able to wrestle for Ring of Honor. My end goal now is to get a contract somewhere. You know, if it's with Ring of Honor, that probably, I think that's more catered to my style, and my life too, with their travel schedule and stuff like that. That, you know, that's my next end thing. If the honestly to be, people are always like, well, you know, you obviously want to go WWE. Like, that is always the main goal, is to go WWE, you know, because that is the biggest and the best. But honestly, like, the goal I've always had and I've always set out for myself is, as long as, if I never accomplish a big time, you know, like a TV contract, as long as I know that, like, my time in the business, people respected me and respected what I've done and my work, and as long as, you know, people have always wanted to be like, I'm always on the list of guys who people want to work with, then I feel like I've accomplished enough, you know, like, as long as, you know, people respect, you know, me and my name and, you know, and that, I feel like, you know, I can call my career a success. But, you know, actual goals, I mean, for me right now, to hopefully land a TV contract for somebody.
Perfect, perfect. So it's definitely about leaving that mark. That's something you definitely want to do in this business.
Definitely.
At least leave that mark on fans and make sure your name is out there. So.
Exactly.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to leave you one more question. Well, it's not more of a question, but a statement. Because in this business, I do have a nice friend. I think you know him well because you saw him on Saturday. Mr. AJ Pan, he wants to know, yeah, because I'm a nice friend of the PCA, so they just wanted to know, how's that loss feeling off Azrael?
Well, the thing is to Mr. AJ Pan, is I didn't lose the match. I didn't get pinned. Azrael pinned Chris Wilde. Now, Azrael did pin me a couple weeks ago in Springfield, Pennsylvania, but at the same time, I'm also going to sit back and say that Azrael is one of those guys who I've come across in this business where he brings the best out in me as I do in him. And anytime that you put Azrael and Sean Carr in a match, you don't know who is going to win, because some night I'm the better man, some nights he's the better man, and we both bring out the best in each other. But as far as this past Saturday, Azrael did not pin me. Azrael pinned Chris Wilde. Me and Joe Gacy, who, it's weird, one day we're friends, one day we're enemies, we had a little encounter which took our attention away from what was going on in the ring. So to Mr. AJ Pan, make sure he gets his facts straight. Has Azrael beat me? Yes, he has. But he didn't beat me on Saturday.
Well, I'll definitely give that message to AJ. I'll let him know. He still says he still has a problem with you for taking Mike Law's spot. That's about it.
Well, Mike Law, I guess, he did. Mike Law, you know, he pulled a fast one on me. PCA did, and he's in next year's Super 8. So hopefully he can pull something out of his ass next year.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Carr, for this. I'll pass it back to George. It's been a pleasure. Hope to see you at a show soon.
Thank you very much. Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
All right. Well, by all means, a nice little conversation you guys were having there back and forth. But basically, I have to ask, now that you mentioned the Super 8, by all means, the ECWA Super 8 is one of the most prestigious tournaments in the entire United States. People from all over the world try to participate in that ECWA Super 8 tournament every year. This year, you won the tournament. And by all means, that has opened gates to many, many past stars to reach the big time. Can you tell us a little bit now what went through your head when you won the tournament, one of the most prestigious tournaments? Was that validation for you when you won?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was the ECWA Super 8 tournament was definitely on my bucket list of things to achieve in this business, because ever since I was a fan, ever since I was a kid who'd go to the grocery store and read PWI magazine, you know, I'd always follow ECWA and the Super 8. I first competed in the Super 8 in 2015. I was scheduled to compete in the 20th ECWA Super 8 last year. But during it, I got hurt at an ROH tryout camp, so I wasn't able to compete in the tournament. So this year, I wasn't taking no for an answer. I came down. I pretty much gave myself the spot by taking out Mike Law. And then I had three solid hard-hitting matches against Brandon Scott, Joe Gacy, and then the finals, Leo Rush. And to me, it means a lot because Leo Rush is signed with WWE. And I was the guy to beat him in the Super 8. So it does, I feel like it does solidify me, you know, up there with, you know, as a top guy who's maybe underlooked.
Well, mind you, I was actually going to ask that. Like, now that Leo Rush, as we all know, was offered an NXT contract, I believe he's going to be going over there in August. He begins his NXT training and so forth in August. You being the winner and you beating him in the finals of the ECWA Super 8 tournament, could it be maybe a rematch on a bigger stage? Would you, like, what would go through your head if one day you're called even as an extra or even signed to the WWE and you work Leo Rush in NXT? What would that say to you? Would it be like, oh my God, we were on this tournament, we stole the show in the finals, and now we're on the big time. So what will go through your head there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it'd be one of those things where everything comes full circle, you know. And Leo Rush, I remember when he first started coming around the scene, and, I mean, it literally seemed like it was yesterday. I mean, I remember when he was tagging with his partner, Rick Powers, who's now in NXT, and Patrick Clark, who was on Tough Enough, and, you know, he's now in NXT, and, you know, to see how far that Leo has come, and even Patrick, you know, is just, it's really inspiring, you know. Leo, I've known Leo since he got in, and I respect Leo. I honestly feel like he is one of the future, you know, of this business. You know, if one day him and I ever down the road, you know, if it ever happens on the grand stage, it will be one of those things where it's like, wow, you know, like, you know, it's something that's been happening for, you know, for years. You know, I mean, look at Kevin Steen or Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I mean, you know, they tore it up all throughout the indies, and now they're doing it on the bigger stage. So it definitely be a kind of feel like that, you know. It'd be one of those things where it's like, wow, wrestling on the independent to now wrestling for the best, biggest company in the entire world. I mean, that would be really cool, in my opinion.
And I'm glad you said that. I feel like Leo Rush can be the Sami Zayn to your Kevin Owens. So
yeah, definitely.
Definitely. I'm really happy you said that. But basically, long story short, you know, again, a lot of people even say the time to be a pro wrestler couldn't be any better than now because of how open the doors have become. For both men and women. Like nowadays, you hear a new report of some new independent guy being signed to the WWE because now they've opened the door to a more kind of younger, faster style, per se, in the WWE. And mind you, it's thanks to you guys, you, the independent wrestlers, who kind of like opened the eyes to them, because it's like, hey, we have to evolve just alongside with them. Like, they might be, quote unquote, the minority, but they're the ones that are changing the business. So just like women constructed the revolution, you independent wrestlers are constructing the revolution of the new style of pro wrestling. So where do you see wrestling going in, like, whether it be 5, 10 years from now? Where do you see pro wrestling going?
Well, pro wrestling has always been like a sickle. You know, it has its really good years and it has its not so good years. I think that we are on the verge of another big boom, like the Attitude Era, because it seems like everyone loves wrestling now, and that's so cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, pro wrestling, its popularity is coming back, and it's so cool to be a part of. You know what I mean? And it's cool to be, you know, associated with it. And in the next 5 to 10 years, I honestly see wrestling being, you know, as big, if not bigger, than it's ever been. You know, during the highs of the business. You know, I mean, if you look at all these independent wrestling shows, I mean, it seems like everyone is drawing amazing houses. You know, I mean, there's definitely those shows, you know, around that, you know, I'm sure draw, you know, more people. You know, there's more wrestlers in the back than there are in the crowd. But, I mean, I got to be honest with you guys. I mean, every show that I've done this year, I don't think, I mean, they have all have been super successful. You know, they've all been in front of great houses. And, you know, that's it's very cool and it's very inspiring, because I feel like today's day and age of wrestling, you know, it's everyone just tries to do what we all love to do and come together, promote the shows, you know, draw these great houses of these amazing fans who just to give you all their energy. And, you know, it's definitely, I feel like, you know, the term people always use, like, a time, what a time to be alive, you know, and I couldn't agree more with that, because, I mean, in my opinion, pro wrestling altogether is just right now that it's such, it's like it's on a rocket ship, you know, and it's just, you know, it's getting more and more popular, more and more people, you know, like it, and they're entertained, and, you know, the stereotype of, you know, wrestling, you know what I mean? Like, big fat dudes fake punching each other, you know? Like, nowadays, I mean, people really go and they're so entertained with the shows, and they're so, you know, and they keep coming back, and they keep buying merchandise, and they keep, you know, buying DVDs, and they want to be a part of it, and it's just such a great time to be in the business right now.
So then my last two questions have to be on that note. Number one, what best advice can you give, being you like an over like a close to 9-10 year veteran like yourself? What can you tell the younger generation of wrestlers? What can you tell them how to be successful, how to reach for the stars, and what's the best advice that you could give them?
Man, you know, I mean, it's crazy for me right now, because like I have so many wrestlers always asking me advice, and sometimes I got to sit back and be like, man, you know, like little old me, people are asking me my opinion on how to be successful. And I always try to tell people, young and aspiring people who are just trying to get in the business, like, you literally, like, there's no excuse these days. I mean, for example, let's take the Monster Factory. The work Danny Cage does with the Monster Factory, and I mean, like, that right there is in itself, like, if people are like, well, I don't know, I mean, I don't know if I can ever be good at this, you know, like, if you seek out a company or a wrestling school to get started like the Monster Factory, I mean, you already are 10 steps above me when I started. I mean, when I started, it was in a broken down warehouse. I think it was an old car garage, you know, with a broken down ring with no heat in the wintertime and no air conditioning in the summertime. And, you know, there's pigeonholes in the roof, you know. And I mean, I always try to tell people, like, you know, you get out of this business what you put into it. And if you study, you dedicate, you ask advice, you learn, you experience things, you go out of your comfort zone. You know, a lot of the problems that I know that people have, and this goes from Brutal Bob Evans. I love Bob to death. He's such a smart human being. He's such a smart guy when it comes to professional wrestling. I've learned a lot from Brutal Bob. And honestly, it's just from reading his posts that he posts on Facebook. And with talking with him, of course, because I always enjoy having a good old Uncle Bob conversation with Bob. But, you know, I mean, if you're comfortable somewhere and you feel like you're not getting anywhere, you need to go, you need to get out. You need to step out of your boundaries, out of your comfort zone, and you need to do other things. You need to build your brand in other places. You know, any opportunity that comes your way, you should take it, you know. Don't think you know it all, you know. Study the guys who are, say, on the indies right now, like the Young Bucks, who are making a living at this. What are they doing? What can you do to make your, you know, take what they're doing and make it your own? Not saying go out there and do the two sweeps and the suckets, super kicks and everything like that, but how can you kind of adapt to how they became successful into your own brand of who you are? You know, and, I mean, there's no excuse to not have a full schedule anymore. I mean, there's really not, with social media, with you know, the internet, with how many great quality wrestling companies there are throughout the entire world, there's no reason why you can't find steady work. And just have fun, you know, have fun what you're doing, you know, build these relationships, you know. I mean, it's crazy because, like, I have a lot of friends in, you know, my hometown of Binghamton, but my real close-knit friends that I consider family are all, you know, a few hours away in a car, you know, in Maryland or PA or, you know, all over the country, you know. Get out there, you know, build these relationships, you know, have fun, do what you do, and just, you know, just take it all in. Live your dream, you know, and put everything you have into this, and only good can come from that.
Yeah, and that's amazing advice. And for anyone that's tuning in, that's a young wrestler in this business or training, I hope you had your ears open, because that was an amazing advice. And this
yep,
coming from,
I definitely am. I'm listening to this.
You know,
right
now. This is coming from the ECWA Super 8 winner here, okay? So this is not like Ricky Dinky advice. This is someone who's been there and knows what he's talking about. But on top of that, Mr. Carr, last question, and I ask this to all my guests just to kind of make them feel good and to kind of like say, oh, my God, like I've made it. Mr. Carr, I know you started watching as a little kid. You got trapped into the love of professional wrestling, like you said. When you watched, you know, Michaels and Bulldog wrestle, you fell in love with the passion. Now you made it. Now you're a pro wrestler. Now you're one of them. You're a Shawn Michaels. You're a British Bulldog. Let me ask you, Mr. Carr, if there was anything you could tell your younger self, the one that was sitting in front of a TV watching Shawn Michaels and British Bulldog tear the house down, what would you tell your younger self right now?
Wow, that's a really, really, really good question.
And it always...
If I was
go ahead.
I'm sorry. If I was in a time machine and I go back to that day, I would tell my younger self, get ready for one of the greatest loves that you will ever have. Love it even if it doesn't love you, and get ready for one of the most fun, adventurous rides you will ever think you've ever will take in your life, because that's what it's been. It's been a crazy ride so far. I've been very fortunate enough to be able to do so much, and I've had so many opportunities to do such cool things that a lot of other people haven't been able to offer, that it wasn't offered to them. If I was able to go back and I'd just be like, you know what, just enjoy the ride that's about to happen, because it's a crazy one. And you're going to hate it, you're going to love it, and you're going to have every emotion in between. And, yeah, enjoy that ride.
Yeah, because I could only imagine what happened when the little kid – because I could only imagine when you first entered wrestling school, that little kid in you that watched Shawn Michaels and British Bulldog was like, oh, my God, I don't know whether to jump or run or when you entered the ring first time. It happens to everyone, even me, because I grew up watching Hogan, and every single time Hulk Hogan came out on my TV, I would pretend like I'm ripping my shirt and pretending I was him. Mind you, that once a promoter gave me a mic to host a pre-show and I entered the ring for the first time, I was telling myself, I don't know whether I should pretend to rip my shirt right now or I should take a bump. Or So trust me, I could only imagine what was going through on your head when you started your path. And I'm very, very, very happy, and I very much support you in every way, on a personal level and a professional level, because you are a definition of a father, and on top of that, a definition of a dream come true when it comes to professional wrestling, Mr. Carr.
Thank you very much, man. Those are like such kind words, and you have no idea how much that means to me. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, sir. So by all means, I know you're very busy. I don't want to keep you away from your child much longer, so let's do some plugs here real quick. How can fans follow you on social media, whether it's a Twitter, a fan page? I know there's Instagram's a thing now for wrestlers. Where can people purchase your merchandise? And where is the next place they could catch you next live?
Right on. Well, I appreciate this this little spotlight. Social media. I'm on Twitter, Hybrid Sean Carr. I'm also on Facebook. If you just type in my name, Sean Carr, or Hybrid Sean Carr, spelled S-E-A-N-C-A-R-R, you can see my fan page. My actual regular personal page that I also use for wrestling is on there. I don't know if I can accept any more friends, because I'm pretty sure I'm tapped out with a 5,000 friend limit. But, yeah, I'm not on Instagram yet. It's, you know, I'm a slow adapter to all the social media things that there are out there, but I do have a pro wrestling tees store that's got a couple cool t-shirt designs. We got a knockoff Ninja Turtle design, a Notre Dame Fighting Irish knockoff, and a Monster Energy knockoff t-shirt. It's at prowrestlingtees.com/Sean Carr. And yeah, I mean, shows coming up. I got a lot of cool things coming up. I got this week I'll be in Williamstown, New Jersey for On Point Wrestling, which is a underground type of CZW style company. Really fun. I got Big Time Wrestling coming up in Syracuse, New York. Huge show with Sting, Scott Steiner, Sabu. Upstate Pro Wrestling I got coming up. They got a big show on August 5th in Rochester. Their show's called Headlocks and Home Runs. If you go on my pages, you see where I'm at. You can see, you know, if I'm coming to a town near you. And, if you come to a show, I'll be find me at the intermission or at the gimmick table. Come say hi, and we'll talk wrestling. And, you know, I'll have T-shirts and pictures and whatever available for sale. And, you know, we can become friends. So that's all I got for you guys.
Well, I hope to one day – oh, my God, I'm actually looking at your shirts. I'm loving the Fighting Irish one. That is
– Thank you very much.
Is that supposed to be you, Mr. Carr?
That is, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. I love that design. Oh, my God. How much is this one? I have to scroll. Oh, my God, it's only $19.99. Guys, go buy this shirt. It's hilarious. But even for you Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans, that's $20 for your favorite wrestler and your favorite cartoon at the same time. Mr. Carr,
can't go wrong.
No, especially that. Mr. Carr, thank you so very much for your time here today. I appreciate it. I really do. And I hope to maybe bump into you in the near future or have you again on the show.
Yeah, anytime you guys want, I'd love to come back on. This has been awesome. You guys have been amazing, amazing hosts. Thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you so very much for again, from all of us here on Russell City, and, of course, for our co-host that's not here with us right now, Red Velvet. We all thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good one, all right?
You
thanks
too,
again,
sir.
Man.
Thank
see
you.
See you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Guys, that was the hybrid Sean Carr. What an amazing young man that is. I have to give credit where credit is due, man. That I'm sorry to tell you, but that guy, AJ Penn, for hating on Sean Carr, how can you hate on him, man?
I still got to agree with AJ. Mike Wallace should have been in the tournament.
Well, Mike Wallace will have another chance next year. But, guys, we're running short of time, so let's go ahead and run through this quick topic that you and I wanted to talk about, Mr. Raimundo, and that was the shoot that took place last week from Tamatunga at the G1 Climax conference, where he was mentioning that New Japan should be broadening up their horizon as far as new talents for that tournament, and even going to the United States for the tournament, and saying that he doesn't need to prove anything because the Bullet Club is basically the reason why New Japan is still around. Man, those are some strong words. But those are some strong words.
Look at now, even someone wrote today, walking down the street here in New York City, if you see wrestling merchandise around, you're seeing Bullet Club. If you walk in California, you're seeing Bullet Club. Every hot topic store here in the United States has Bullet Club merchandise now. So that tag team has brought a new audience to New Japan. So Tamatunga is like, wait a second, we're the ones that are making you money. Do something we want. Just don't do the old guard and bring in something new. Bring in that U.S. aspect, because look at the recent G1 show in Los Angeles. That was a pure success doing that tournament, where Kenny Omega did win, another Bullet Club member. So it's like, you see what you can do, continue it. Don't play to your actual safety zone. Do something different. It may work out.
Well, all I got to say is that he even pointed at Okada being the IWGP heavyweight champion, saying that Okada is not carrying the New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's the Bullet Club that's carrying New Japan Pro Wrestling. That again, these were very, very real words coming from Tamatunga. You could see the passion and how real he was talking on the mic. He was cursing.
Yep.
He was saying that he didn't need to prove anything because apparently people were hating on him, and he went on to say F you to those people that were hating on him. Like, this is a...
Yeah, because to them, he's still like a jobber for the Bullet Club. What's sad to say that people think, oh, he's just going to be one of the first guys out, he's not even going to make it to the finals of the tournament, which is sad because he is a second generation competitor with his father being in the business so much, his whole family being in this business. It's like, really? You're going to hate on a guy that has so much lineage? This is why he's frustrated, not even with just the company, but with fans in general.
Well, I would love to see Tamatunga actually win that tournament, one half of the Gorillas of Destiny. God. So I would actually be a fan if he won that tournament. It would be kind of like a change of the guard as far as like a brand new face winning that tournament, just like how he's
asking
for it. It
would be funny if this is all what's tied into it, is that it's just like CM Punk with his pipe bomb, then weeks later, he wins the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
So is that what he needs? Do you need to give a pipe bomb and then they start listening?
Well, let me tell you something. If that's the case, and Tamatunga even goes on to face Okada for the title, there's no one that has a harder head than Samoans and the Haku family. So Okada will actually have his hands full with him. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, this may be an actual match of someone that strikes harder than Shibata, because that match with Shibata and Okada, that was strong style bona fide. Imagine this.
Yep, and let me tell Tamatunga, by all means, is one of the most vicious wrestlers in the ring in New Japan, so we would love to see Tamatunga go against Okada in the near future. So, guys, we're about done here on Russell City Radio. We had a great interview with Sean Carr. We had some great conversations when it came to the Kurt Angle's fiasco. And now we end it with the Tamatanga. Mr. Raimundo, any plugs you want to say before we go?
Well, as always, at The Law of Ray Raimundo on Facebook, on Twitter, anything you can think, social media, just Ray Raimundo. He'll be there. Follow The Law. That's about it for me.
All right. Well, guys, make sure you follow us on social media, facebook.com/Russell City Radio. We are now on our own server here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Russell City Radio. Make sure you follow us.
Radio,
on...
soon.
Make sure you follow us every week, you fool. Make sure you follow us every week here on the show. Next week, we have none other than the most vicious shooter, the most dangerous shooter in the world of professional wrestling. And, of course, Kevin Killer Cross will be here next week. He was just recently signed to Lucha Underground. We're going to see what's going on there. But, yes, Kevin Killer Cross will be here next week. I'm kind of scared about him.
Hey, George,
so.
you know who else is going to be here next week? Because I
who?
Just got the check right now.
What?
Just like you mentioned, your favorite moment was Eric Bischoff. So, with his theme song, George, I'm back. See you guys next week.
Someone shoot me in the foot. I'm out of here. Good night, folks. Ray.
Yep.
Hey, Ray, you got my cheeseburgers, bro? I asked for a double patty cheeseburger.
I didn't get the order.
Hold on. Why are we still on the air while I'm asking for my cheeseburgers? Who does this to me?
See you next week.